Well, good evening, everybody. Whether you're here or there, good evening. And if you would, open with me to John 14, the book of John 14. And we will start from there tonight. And tonight I was thinking about something, is that during all whatever calamity of this you could call it, or disaster, inconvenience, whatever it may be, Jesus is still the only way. No matter what, no matter how you get around it, Jesus is the only way through a catastrophe. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way for anything. And that's the way we should be as Christians. In John chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 1. It said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." That's one of those most truest statements that could possibly ever be said. I think we've got it on the wall too. That if it's worthy of putting on our wall, it's worthy of putting on our hearts every single day, of knowing that Jesus is the only way for anything. Heaven, way out of death, spiritual death, and we're going to look at a lot of that here in just a second. He's made a way for countless billions to be saved to go to heaven. He's made countless ways for us to be sometimes where we are, good, bad, or the ugly. And we've got to trust that. And trusting that is the key to it. Jesus is the way maker. First point we're going to look at tonight is Jesus made a way out of danger. If we were to look back at Moses and look at what happened there when they crossed the Red Sea, they were in despair. They just got through out of the hands of Egypt and the mighty Pharaoh. And all of a sudden, Moses is leading them. All of a sudden, they come to this Red Sea. I mean, it ain't the biggest sea in the world, but it's a big body of water that you can't just walk across. But Jesus made a way for them to do that. Can anybody explain that? There's been many scholars I've seen and read about that it's the way the wind blew, or in the shallow waters, and the rock was here, and that nor'easter was doing something. It doesn't matter. Jesus made a way for them to get across. And no matter how much the wind was blowing, as soon as they got completely across, what happened? It closed up and swallowed up the entire Egyptian army that was chasing them. Anybody want to call coincidence? I'm not. I'm going to put Jesus was making a way for his people to get out of danger. And if you read over in Mark 4, verse 39, when he calmed the seas, the disciples were all in a boat. Jesus was asleep in the corner, and the storm was raging. Possibly even maybe in hurricane style, tropical force winds, whatever they call them in Asia. What they call them, typhoons or cyclones? On the other side of the world, they call them cyclones. Maybe that's what it was. He was at peace with the Father. He was at peace with himself. He was at peace with what he had to do, so he was napping in the corner. He knew that God held the way for everything. But the disciples were freaking out. They were terrified, and they see Jesus over there in the corner sleeping, and were mad that he was sleeping. And they woke him up, and I'm sure in a frantic. Your kids ever done that in the middle of the night, just woke you up? And you jump up thinking the house is on fire, the building's collapsing, and you realize they're just, you know, maybe scared of the boogeyman. Well, that's what happened. So Jesus got up and just calmly, peace be still, whoosh. Water was like glass. He made a way for them to ease. He makes a way for us to have peace in the midst of the storm. Some folks are freaking out about this COVID, and it's okay to be a little bit nervous. It's okay to be maybe scared at times. But remember, Jesus is in control and making a way for us to get through this. There's, you know, looking at it now is different than when we looked at it a month ago, right? Or 2 months ago. I was a little nervous too, but as it's went through and realized that, you know, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Jesus made the way. He gave us peace. Next is Jesus made a way out of jail. Remember over in Genesis when Joseph was falsely accused? You know, things looked terrible. He was going to be locked up. He was going to be put away, killed even. But Jesus made a way because he trusted Jesus. He believed in God and led him through that. And Paul and Silas, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, 25 through 34, where Paul and Silas were arrested for preaching. They were thrown in jail. And what did they do? They sang praises unto Jesus all night, no matter their situation. The reason I like this story, I figure nowadays I've seen the New Age jail. It's different than this was. New Age jail, you get 3 square meals a day. You're kind of got maybe a little bit of a bed and a bathroom and a sink. This to me was like a dungeon, an old mildewy, yucky, black concrete wall of some kind, shackles that were rusted, chained to the wall or to somebody else. And they were praising the Lord for that. They were praising the Lord that, you know, they got arrested for preaching and they were happy about it. You know, I mean, that's only way is through Jesus right there. And then all of a sudden, they were probably to be killed the next day, you know, chopped their heads off, they're preaching. And all of a sudden, Jesus sent an earthquake and split the walls. And the miraculous point there is that they didn't run off. And if you read that story, take time to read that story, is that none of the prisoners ran away either. Because there's something about spreading the gospel that intrigues people. And sometimes us as Christians forget that we may have been in church for our entire lives, or half our lives, or 20, 30 years, whatever it may be. Sometimes we get numb to the gospel. I'll just be honest. Maybe I'm fessing up a little bit too, but at times we get, and I don't want to say numb to it, but we know it, and we know it like the back of our hand. We can quote the Romans Road or run to them very quickly or got them outlined. All those things are great, and sometimes we forget about those others or forget about when I was that time where hearing the gospel was intriguing. What? I've never heard this before. And then sitting in preaching, when I first started coming here, you know, preaching was new to me. You know, I didn't grow up in a Catholic area, but I was in Catholic school for a short time when I was younger. But I never knew the concept of preaching. I didn't, you know, man stand up and yell at you the whole time and tell you how awful you are. And that was always my perception. And when you get in here and you start hearing this and you start hearing about the gospel, how Jesus loves you, how Jesus made a way for you, how Jesus gives us peace in the moment of danger. During COVID-19, we can still have peace. What crazy thought is that? Only through Jesus. When you start hearing those things, it's intriguing and getting interesting. But as the years wear on, it's not new to me anymore. It's not like that bright, shiny new toy that you've got. It's maybe becomes work or diligent or things like that, and it shouldn't. The gospel should still be fresh on us as the first day we understood the gospel and received Christ and understood what he did for us. It should be the same. But I think sometimes as Christians, we tend to get maybe calloused a little bit. Maybe we've had a few doors slammed in our face, or people make fun of us, or throw a track back at us, or see a track laying on the ground and think, oh my goodness. You know, if it got on the ground, it was in somebody's hand at one point in life, right? So it's doing something. But Jesus frees us from those kind of things. He made a way out of jail. And in our lives, he makes a way out of the bondage of sin. You know, even us as Christians, I'm not going to ask how long Christians are. I don't want to put Nana on the spot or nothing, but been saved for many years, you know, and we still sin. We still do stupid things. We're still human. We still have flesh inside of us. No matter how much our mind and our heart, we still have a little sin inside of us, but he still makes a way out of that and sets us free. You know, if we just confess those sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. Saved or unsaved, he still forgives us of sins if we're willing to come to him. And third is Jesus made a way out of death. One of my other favorite stories is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I've always tried to remember their other names. Brother Jeff, you preached on it years ago and used their, this is their Hebrew names. What's the other names for them? Yes, they're Babylonian names. I got a whole nother, Meshach, Azariah, and I'll catch up later on that one. But they were told to bow down, worship another god. And they said no. They're about to be thrown into a fiery furnace, 7 times hotter than it's ever ran before. And they never bowed down. They just went into it like no big deal. And then the king yelling, "Lo, there is a fourth in there, like the image of the Son of God." How wonderful is that? Could you put yourself in that place for a minute, being the one saying, "You must bow down to another god, otherwise you're going to die." You know, think about all those Christians in the Middle East that are being ravaged by the Muslim, the radical Islam Muslim sect. They're being done that every day. Deny Christ and live, or accept him and die. And they're dying. The heads are on the beaches every day, seems like. Stories of that kind of thing. But that kind of stuff's been going on forever. Christianity has been persecuted since day one. And we look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego standing in that furnace. Wow, just to be, you know, they said the guards that threw them in got burned up, right? Do I remember that story right? Yeah. They were burned up just putting them in that fire. And then they are able to walk out because of their trust in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They trusted in that. And God stood in there with them. He made a way for them to get out. Same way as us. When we are in that fight of life, in that going through good, bad, mediocre, just equal life, whatever. Nothing bad, nothing good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's days like that. They don't happen very often, but they're there. Jesus is right there with us, just like he was with them in that fire. He's right there with us if we trust him. He's making that way for us. There was a preacher years ago at Bethaven that can't for the life of me remember his name. You know, he was preaching on the fact that we try to stand up and stand out and take on the brunt of the fiery darts of the devil. But he said, step back. Maybe step back again. Let Jesus go forward. Plow that way for you. Let him knock that brick wall down. Don't you do it. You're not strong enough. Let him do it. And I'd love to get a recording of that one of these days if I can ever figure his name. Is that he's there making a way for us, holding our hand. And the other one, still in Daniel, three chapters over, Daniel in the lion's den made a way for out of death. 6 lions in a den that are hungry. Man walks in. What do we think is going to happen? Well, he's going to get eat up. There's no way he can survive the night. There's no way. And Jesus turns those little tigers into little kittens for the evening. Comfort their bellies so they weren't hungry and didn't want to eat poor little Daniel. I've got this vision of Daniel being this little scrawny kid about like JD, you know. What was the tigers going to get out of that? A little bit of meat, you know. But Jesus made a way. He provided a way for them to have an evening. Jesus made a way of a death for you and I spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's made a way for all of us if we just accept it and trust it. When it comes to folks maybe listening online or that may never have trusted Christ, that's where you accept him. And those of us who are Christians, it's following him is the hard part, is letting go and just saying, hey, God, take. I've seen this meme. Sorry, there's a bunch of stuff going on, funny stuff. There's this old Model T, and there's somebody driving. All of a sudden, the steering wheel's way out here, and it's like, it was the tire flying off, and the person has a little bubble saying, no, take the steering wheel, not the other wheel. It's kind of funny, but it is sometimes if we back off and let Jesus take over and let him plow that way for us, life is different. To me, life is easier. Now, y'all may be shaking your heads at me saying, don't say that, but it is. Even when bad things, it makes bad times easier when we know we have Christ. Going through sicknesses, we've had several in the church, even now going through cancer and in the past. If I was to ask them, poll them to go, hey, if you were lost, how would that have been? And I'm sure knowing now, they'd been like, it'd probably been miserable, knowing that there's, if this goes bad, there's nothing to gain. But if, you know, that sickness goes bad, there's something to gain. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, with this COVID, you know, that's, it's not, I'm not saying I want everybody to have it. I don't want it. I don't want even my family or friends or anybody, even my enemies, to have it. But if you know Christ and you were to get sick, it makes being sick better. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It's not the chicken noodle. It's way better than chicken noodle when you're sick. And last thing is, Jesus made a way out of a hopeless situation. We look at Noah and his family. The ark was a type of salvation plan that God made. One was to redeem, or trying to redeem human, the human nature, but that seemed to just piled up even more. It seems like we're just, humans are just doomed to sin. But he tried to create over, and he found the best of the bunch there, and that was Noah and his family, and tried to start over. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If we look at ourselves, we were lost and undone, doomed, and Jesus made the way. I said earlier about the Romans Road, most of us know it. I wrote down most of them, and we're going to go through them real quick. Romans 5:8. I'm going to turn there just because I don't want to try to goof one up on me, have my brain shut down. But we were all at one time in the midst of a storm, in the bondage of sin, or in spiritual condemnation, or a hopeless. And if you were ever in those spots, listen to these verses. It said, Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that have sinned. The Bible's trying to tell us we're sinners. Anybody else pick up on that? I think so. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is easy as that tonight. Is call upon the Lord and thou shalt be saved. There's a lot of folks that like to put a lot of spin on how to get saved and what you got to do and not do, and maybe through water or things like that, or jumping through hoops and telling some young child that if you put God on the throne of your heart, you should be saved. I mean, what, you know, how is that? All it is confess to the Lord Jesus that you're a sinner and that the only way to heaven is through the blood of Christ. That's salvation in a nutshell. And he is the only way person that can do that. The only way. No other way. We can't do it ourselves. Brother Jeff, pastor can't. Nobody can. Only Christ can make the way for us to go to heaven and have eternity with him in a perfect place. The other option is hell, which is eternity also, except it's torment, it's fires, it's flames, it's living with the devil for the rest of your life in a confined black hole of darkness. That's what we have to give if we don't trust Christ. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this message. We thank you that you are the only way to heaven, the only way to give us peace, the only way to guide us, help us through life. And Father, I pray if there's someone here tonight that, or listening online, or somebody that you may know online that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that you pass this gospel message along to them. And if you're unsure how, contact us via Facebook or through the website of getting help with that. We've got a toll-free number that they can call and hear another clear presentation of the gospel. Father, we just thank you that you do make a way for us, and you loved us enough to do that for us. And we just ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.